If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things, episode 120. Suns fan here with the cleanly, I was going to say shaven, but it's more of a haircut that you got going there. Sindarin.
More of a haircut.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. It's been a long time. It's been a full week since I've talked to you. Just ignore me for the rest of the week and you just show up for the podcast. Great friend
you are. That's not true. We did write to each other a little bit.
Yeah, when I ask you a question, it takes you 2 days to respond. Real great friend.
No, it doesn't. It took me one day.
Okay, fair enough. So since
pigeons need to arrive.
That's true. Your internet over there is 56K style, I guess.
Yeah.
I did all the Patreon shout-outs last time, so I think it's time for you to do it.
Am I doing all of them this time?
Yes.
All right. I'll do it.
By the way, we got a few more people. We're starting to. This is going to be a 10-minute segment in the future. If this
this list is really long. Well, I'll try to be quick so we can move on. But they also deserve a shout out, so you know it's the right balance. So as usual, guys, if you guys want to chip in and support the podcast, it's patreon.com/we say things. But this is the In Bruges tier, which is the highest one. In this tier are games for falling asleep. Gwyn, the okayish lord of candles. Heroin Horse is the greatest third position Dota 2 player in the world. Disco Farm D, playing Caudle, playing position 4 Caudle at 1 MMR and Baya blasting 3 jungle camps and the midwave at 3 minutes. Why can't I rank up? Vincent Darksea, mediocre knight Artorias and his good boy Sif the Sword Dog. Semper Pi, Hakuna Matata, the guy in the chair Esquire. Lucas Frankel, Commander Dona. I'm playing position 5 IRL. Please help me, I'm imprisoned in Sun's Fen's basement. Okay. Brad Sheeran. Bonsai, wise guy, chicken pot pie. Chakar. Playing against Wyvern and Lane is so shitty, his second spell should be called Sphincter Blast. The Mega Pope. In New Zealand, friendship costs $50.32 per month. Thanks for the vaccines, Denmark, TI in New Zealand. You're very welcome. Denmark sent, or sold, I don't remember which one it was. Probably sold. 500,000 vaccines to New Zealand, I believe, recently.
That's nice.
Zan Xavier. Nate Thicko, 01 Hamscroats. Bacon. Morbidly wanking off my goblin like schlong as I look up among the stars, knowing my only salvation is first item bottle. I feel like this is the same guy as usual. Shark TM, Onion the Dog, Novi Panda, Dop, Chosnek in Japanese is Niniku, as I'm half Japanese. Nothing to see here, underscore. The 9-hour purge video that follows a monstrous patch is Ben Broomhead's religion. Pitch Black, Wooden Aftertaste, Dun Talk. Outsourced incest, anonymous, buying my friendship with Sunspend for $30 a month. Peter, male giraffes will headbutt females in the bladder until they pee. Niebling, this one's a lie for the first time because I said last time there never lies. Perkador hopes he changed it in time this time. Wow, what a list!
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's the longest it's ever been, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you guys so much.
What does outsourced incest mean?
I was reading that and I was like,
I need to understand. That breaks my brain just thinking about it. That is fucking amazing.
I don't think you're meant to think about it very much.
I can't help it. Another name, not to stay on this list for long. Do you guys have, are basements common where you live? Because in Arizona specifically, it's very uncommon to have a basement, actually. Very,
it's
very
not
uncommon.
That common here.
Hmm. Okay. Just curious.
Two places ago, we did have a basement, but it was like usually, I think in Denmark, a lot of the time, it's like a shared basement in an apartment complex where it's like for bikes or some places that are a little bit older, there would be like laundry racks or laundry machines or whatever. If you don't have that in your apartment, if it's like a shared one, but I think most newly built places don't have basements.
Gotcha. Pretty sure about that. Okay, cool. Before we get started with topics, you didn't put this on the outline, but I figured there is something you wanted to talk about your week.
Oh, should we put that there?
Yeah.
So that'd be the first topic. We'll do it.
Sindarin is so lazy, he doesn't even put the biggest thing that's happened to him in the last 10 years.
Is it this one?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to do that first?
Yeah. Of course. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't put it on here, but you're right. We should mention that. Chat, and everyone listening and watching on YouTube or podcast platform number 276. I had a really cool opportunity a few days ago where there was the World Championship of Online Poker was running. It still is, actually. I think a couple of the smaller tournaments are still left. But I was given access to two of the tournaments via Lex. I'm going to butcher his last name, but some of you guys might know him. Lex, I think it's Veldhuis or something like that. He's Dutch, so nobody can say it. He knows I'm into poker and I'm interested in it, and he asked if I would like a chance to play in some of the big tournaments. So together with PokerStars, he got me a ticket for two of their tournaments. And one of them had a buy-in of $5,200 for the ticket, which I would never pay because I'm not at that skill level.
Oh, you got it for free?
I got it for free.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Wait, how does that happen? He just comps you? Like, he paid for it? Or
Given free tickets? I think the tournament organizer has a couple of, like, free tickets that they can do with whatever they want, right? Yeah. And it's like a give-and-take kind of thing where I get the ticket, but I also stream the table. So I guess they use it to like try to reach a different audience or, you know, just as a community thing. And I had very low expectations going in, but I actually ended up finishing in 202nd, which sounds terrible if you don't know about poker, but it was like about the top 10% of the field. And that was enough to cash me the minimum prize, which was almost $12,000. And yeah, like we just said, the buy-in was for free for me. So it's technically, I just cashed the full amount. I didn't buy the ticket at all.
That's awesome.
That was pretty amazing. I was streaming it. It's weird. When's the last time you've been 202nd at something and been like super proud? I was really proud because I did not expect at all that I could play against that field of players at that level, but I actually made it. So that was really cool. That was a great experience. I streamed it. If you guys want to check it, my VOD is still on Twitch.
It's been a while since I played poker. The only poker I even know how to play is Texas Hold'em. What kind of poker was it?
It was Texas Hold'em.
Okay.
It's clearly the biggest one.
So no limit or?
Most tournaments are in that. Yeah.
Cool.
It's the most common format online is no limit Hold'em.
How many games how many days was it? Was it like a multiple
day
thing?
The whole tournament was 4 days and I got halfway into day two, I think. I expected I would get crushed on day one and just be out. Which actually happened in the other tournament. I got a ticket for a $530 buy-in as well, and I busted that relatively early. I think 4 hours in or something, maybe.
It's no surprise, Cinder. You're not in it for the low stakes. You need the big dollars, right?
Yeah,
who gives a shit about 500
like,
buy-in?
Whatever.
Garbage.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, man.
Well, congratulations.
That was a really
Cinder.
Awesome experience. Thanks. So what was really special about it is that I talked about this on my stream. I said it's been a long time since I felt that. When I ended up getting in the money, the way I felt there reminded me of placing high in a Dota tournament. It's like, it's a very special feeling to compete in something and overcome expectations, right? Or, you know, just get really, really far. If you're expecting to win and you win, it still feels amazing. It's not like, I expected to win, right?
But right.
Like playing against a really strong field and feeling like you did a really good job and played against players that are better than you and you could still compete, that's pretty awesome. So that was a bit of a tap into the competitiveness that I used to do in Dota, but it's been a while now, so it was cool to have it again.
That's awesome. Congrats, friend.
Yep. Thank you.
What are you going to spend really that cool. money on?
Investing.
Yeah, I figured you'd say that.
Yes.
I'd buy something
I'm
cool.
I'm so boring.
You know? I'd buy a pool, maybe. Yeah.
Actually, I will say though, but that's not because I won this. I was going to do this anyway, but I have ordered a new laptop, which should be coming tomorrow.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wait, was that before or after winning poker?
That was after, but it was unrelated. I was going to do it anyway.
Oh, please. Please.
And we did go out for dinner the day after I won as well. But that was I mean, maybe that was related.
Was it a night? How many appetizers did you have, Sindarin?
Zero.
What?
Zero. Yeah.
That's insane. Okay,
yeah,
well.
It's hard to believe.
That is actually ridiculously hard to believe. All right, let's get started with the episode. Congrats again, friend.
Yes, thank you.
So 7.30C, was released not too long ago. And let's talk about it. So the biggest thing for me, of course, Dawnbreaker added to the game. And when I first saw this, first of all, I was excited and I was expecting it, as we talked about. I thought it would be cool to have this for TI. I was expecting there to be changes to her. And I scrolled down and absolutely no notes, which shocked me. Do you think she's balanced right now? What are your thoughts? I mean, I assume there's going to be probably at least one more mini patch before TI.
The thing that confuses me is why they didn't do this 2 months ago.
Yeah. Well, not when they added Ags and Shard, whenever that was, right?
Yeah. I think you could have put Dawnbreaker in, given her some time in the limelight and see how the hero does in Pro Dota. Instead, you wait until, what's that, about 3 weeks before TI, and then you put in the hero? I just feel like it's a weird choice. Like, you didn't really change much about it. Maybe you wanted more data on how the hero performs, but if you want data on how the hero performs in Pro Dota, there's one good way of doing it, and that's putting it into Pro Dota. So, yeah. I'm happy it's in, though. I think it's a really fun hero, but I'm slightly concerned that it's really, really strong in pro play, and it's maybe too good compared to pubs. I think its win rate in pubs isn't that good, but when you start building strategies that use the hero effectively, I think it will be potentially very powerful, but we'll see. There's also counters, so it's not like it's just a stupidly broken hero.
Yeah, it's mostly, it feels like the ult is what the teams are going to take advantage of the most versus tech. Yeah.
And there are a couple of counters to that, right? There is Global Silence and there's Spike Carapace, two of the abilities that ruin her completely, which you can obviously then target bans for. If you think the hero is that busted, then you could start banning supports in order to make her the best game. And I think we're going to mainly see her played as a five. I actually think that's the hero's best role.
That's unfortunate.
Which might be a bit surprising to people, but the way I think about the hero is you're really, really strong in lane no matter what role you are. Your levels are just everything that matters. Your first and second spell when they're level 1, 2, and 3 just own in lane. You have so much damage, and you're pretty tanky as a support. And your ulti doesn't really scale very well with farm. And if that's what you're going to use the hero for, you might as well have it on a supporting role with mana boots, just pushing waves with the second spell. And then you can connect with your team when it's needed for a fight. Go like Holy Locket and mech or something like that. So you have a really strong heal when you come in. Something like that might be good.
Can we get a goddamn carry into the game, please? We need a new carry, please.
Something that was kind of mind-blowing when I think back on it. When this hero was released, I started playing it on my stream because I was like, this hero's fucking fun. And Jerax wrote to me, and this was like a few hours after the hero was out or something. He was like, hey, try this build. Nobody was building it like he suggested. And I still think it's the best build. And he figured that out within hours. He was
Echo
like,
Saber,
oh, Holy Locket, Holy Locket Greaves.
Oh, the support said, build. Okay.
Yeah. He was like, try this. It's sick. And I've basically almost every game I play Dawn, I go either Mech, Locket, or both. Still, I was like, yo, I'll give that a try. That sounds good. Fuck yeah, if it wasn't good.
Wow.
What a god, Jerax. Wonder when we're going to see him make an appearance again. If he's going to be a TI or something, or if he's going to start doing some sort of other content. Because I think he did have some plans, right? When he retired, he announced that he was going to do something about his stream. Haven't seen him around much, though.
Yeah, he did had some merch, I think. I don't really know. I'm sure he can do whatever he wants with that much money. But yeah,
he's fine.
He's a cool guy. Anyway, back to 7.30C, Cinderin. Let's talk about the stuff that was the highlights. So stack neutral creeps gold XP and bounty reduced by 15% for the person killing it, not for the stacker.
Yeah.
So the support's still getting gold, but the person killing it gets 15% less. Do you think that's obviously this was probably the biggest problem with this patch in general.
Absolutely needed. Do I think it's enough? I don't know. I think so far, right? But it's still, you need to remember this is a new patch. So far, the playstyle hasn't really changed. People still stack the living crap out of the map.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think stacks are too good. Honestly, what I would kind of like would just be to revert it to when it didn't give bonus to the stacker either. And that might be unpopular because, you know, I'm a support player. I should love this. I get extra gold for stacking, but...
Yeah, but you're a boomer. You don't like change in general, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's just there's too much gold on the map, and that honestly also includes supports, kind of. I understand what they were trying to do with, like... I'm not going to say bridging the gap, but I want to say closing the distance between the roles so that fives have more gold relative to ones. But it actually hasn't really happened. Like, everyone has just got way richer. the cores are still way ahead of the supports, pretty much the same, relatively speaking, I think. Everyone just has more gold. And I would like everyone to have less gold, not just the cores. So, if anything, make creeps and jungle give more gold and less gold in general. Mm. And then you can also do the stacking penalty if you think it's necessary. But I don't think this is enough. I still think the game is too fast by like a decent amount. And it's a, I'd say it's a combination of multiple things. It's the fact that if you want to, did we talk about this last episode a little bit about power creep or two episodes ago? Like, yeah. There's a lot of things in Dota that have happened, right? I'll just quickly summarize them. Neutral items give free gold to every hero in the game. Previously, you had to pay for the attributes and whatever you get. You now get attribute bonus on every level that you don't have a skill point that you want to spend, or you can choose to use it. We had talents, which obviously in their own was also power creep, but they were way more creative and interesting. And then we have all of the gold on the map, the increased passive gold in the last couple of patches, major patches. So like, everything has just got faster. People get richer faster in the games. It means you have 5-6 slot inventories minute 25 instead of minute 30 or 35, which makes for lower average game time, but it also makes the games very kind of explosive, maybe a bit too much for my taste, but it's a taste thing, right? I can't say it's bad.
I like it.
Disagree with it.
I like everybody having gold. It's more fun.
Yeah.
Cooler stuff happens. No more of this bullshit of people running around level 3 with no boots, 2 branches.
Well, you can still have experience, right?
They're still level 3, okay? But they have items now.
You don't have to lower the XP. It's fine. I think the XP is fine, actually. I like the XP formula.
Continue on. Some highlights. I'll start with a couple. Echo Saber. I want to talk about this for a second. So Echo Saber no longer works with Swashbuckle and Tree Toss, meaning technically it works, but it doesn't work like before where it would just never go on cooldown. I have an issue with the wording here, okay? Valve, if you're watching, I have a little tip to make it seem like, just listen. Fixed Swashbuckle attacks and Toss Tree not putting Echo Saber on cooldown. So what does this insinuate to you? What does this imply, Syndrome? The wording.
It implies that it used to not put Echo Saber on cooldown and now it does.
So the word fixed. So fixed means that it was a bug. And not only was it a bug, it's been a bug for how long now? That makes you look really incompetent. All you had to say was Swashbuckle and Toss Tree no longer put Echo Saber on cooldown. That's just a change. It's like, okay,
that's true.
That was a feature. We just didn't want it anymore. Why would you say fixed? That means you didn't fix this fucking bug that people have been complaining about or abusing for months now. Anyway, just a small pet peeve.
Popson needed to qualify for TI first with Tango Mid.
Yeah, and then, maybe.
Then they could fix it after.
I'm going to skip a bunch of this stuff, but I want to talk one more. The neutral item.
A lot of them are rather small.
Witchbane. The cleanse, which was the dispel, is now single target only.
Thank the fucking Lord. What a broken item.
No longer AoE. The thing I didn't realize the first time I read it is that you can use it on an enemy or allies. So
it was literally just a mass dispel in an area on the ground, dispelling every target from positive and negative stuff, depending on which team they're on.
Yeah, so now it's single, but you can still use it on enemy or allies. So that is a nice change for sure.
I still conceptually don't like that there's a neutral item that has a dispel, but that's boomer brain again. We can move on.
I mean, actually, I don't disagree with that, only because certain heroes feel unplayable against that shit. Like,
think about what you buy Nullifier for sometimes. No, you can
Necro.
Get that for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Necro is unplayable.
Omni Knight now.
That shit's up.
We're getting there, obviously, but jump the gun on that.
Yep. All right. What heroes do you want to go over? Which ones stand out to you? Because this was actually a lot bigger patch in terms of the amount of heroes that I was expecting.
Yeah, I think the primary ones to mention are just the ones that were like considered S tier. And I think the nerfs are pretty good in this patch. So Batrider got nerfed. This hero was really strong. Got his base vision increased, actually. So he got buffed on day vision. Now it's up to 1600 like most other heroes. But Sticky Napalm no longer increases Fey Grenade damage, which was really stupid. So that's good. Stick and Napalm reduced duration by 1 second, which is a relatively big nerf, because this is something you have to keep up, right, to be valuable, and it makes it easier for heroes to get rid of the stacks in lane. Flame Break DPS reduced by 5, and Firefly bonus vision reduced to half, so it's way worse at night. It used to give you 1600 night vision, I think, to now 1200. And the cooldown got increased on the lower levels as well. So it's harder for Batrider to have the same laning and early farming impact in the jungle. Then what else is really worth mentioning?
Clinks.
Clinks for sure. Lost 0.2 agi gain. Lost 25 attack range. 2 seconds more cooldown on Burning Barrage. It got a cast point to 0.2 from zero. It got more mana cost. Skeleton Walk Archers reduced duration when you have the shard. Death Pack got nerfed. But Burning Army duration got increased by 10 seconds. This hero got nerfed really hard. I still think it's super good. But it needed a lot of nerfs. And this is pretty decent, at least.
I have a question. I don't remember the exact numbers from before, but Earthshaker, the Enchant Totem, Ag Scepter stuff, has been buffed again after being nerfed multiple times and then wasn't picked anymore. So the airtime decreased by 0.2 seconds and the cast point has been reduced by 0.09. Is this enough for Morphling Earthshaker to kind of make its comeback for TI?
Maybe.
Like, I don't remember what it used to be, what the timing used to be. But
Shaker's already kind of good again with the new talents and everything. The changes he got in 730. So it could be a thing at TI. I could see it. Yeah.
Your favorite shard in the game got buffed. Gyrocopter, homing missile, shard rocket barrage. Increased by 25 AoE. Very nice.
Oh,
huge
irrelevant.
Buff. Yeah.
Caudle, next busted hero that got multiple nerfs. Illuminate plus 2 seconds cooldown. That's a really big deal. Damage reduced by 25 on all levels. Also a big deal. Travel speed on the Illuminate reduced by 150. So it went from 1050 to 900, so it's easier to dodge. And he gets 5% less bonus move speed in spirit form. So 4 nerfs on Caudle, 3 of them on Illuminate. Another hero that just needed a lot of nerfs. I think he's still good, but that hits him hard. And the 25 damage on Illuminate might not sound like a lot, but what pro players were doing was they were buying 3 null talismans so they could one-shot creep waves with level 4 Illuminate. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
And that is really inconvenient that you have to illuminate twice, because now that the cooldown is 2 seconds longer, you can't even chakra the second one. Mm. You have to wait longer. It's a pretty damn big nerf, actually.
The shard for Luna, which gave 2 attacks, now does 1. Although I saw on Reddit that it was bugged and still doing 2. I don't know if they fixed that.
I'm sure there's going to be a patch coming out where it says fixed very soon.
Well, that one would be understandable. See, that makes sense.
Yeah, that would actually be a fix.
Feature fixed.
Then we have Lycan with multiple nerfs, less health regen on Feral Impulse, less damage on Feral Impulse, and his talents across the board got nerfed a little bit, except his HP regen talent on level 10, which nobody takes. Omni Knight gets hit hard, really hard. Heavenly Grace can be dispelled, which means you can counterpick the hero now with specific things like Shadow Demon or Oracle, you know, all these heroes that have dispels.
So if there's a dispel on the other team, don't you just use this more to use it for like a hard dispel, like to take off a stun, as opposed to because now it's almost becoming
a save.
Yeah, you're not really using the status resist as much if there's a dispel.
And it's not just that, right? It's all the strength. Like, the way people were using Omni Knight as a support was they would pick it together with a carry that really benefits from strength. Such as Sven, he would get the status resistance and a lot of strength, which in turn gives him a lot of damage. But also, we saw it in the last tournament, ESL played with Clinks, for example, where you had Heavenly Grace Clinks, and he was just so fucking tanky. He would have Death Pact and Heavenly Grace and like 5,000 health. It being dispellable, I think it's a pretty intelligent way of going about it. It gives players agency to try to solve the hero themselves instead of being like, okay, Heavenly Grace is just super busted. Let's just nerf the strength, nerf the cooldown, whatever. I kind of like this change because it also means Omni Knight can still be an incredible pick in the right conditions, but now it's not just as no brain. Oh, let's just get Omni he owns, right? So I think it's pretty cool. GA got a bit more expensive in mana, and Degen Aura got buffed. Nobody cares. Next, Pango.
The mana cost on Shield Crash. Yeah, the mana cost for Shield Crash up by 15 is actually brutal.
This hero is so starved
for mana. And actually, it's sad for me because I wanted to see this hero become more of a... I know I say this about every fucking hero, but honestly, every hero that's coming out lately is becoming a support for some reason. But like, I feel like the changes in the past couple patches have been, to me, illustrating that they want this to be played maybe some more as like an Ags builder. Right, where you're going in and you're doing the Shield Crash talent. Now with the 15 extra mana, it becomes extra brutal. So that feels.
Do you think this
bad.
Is a bigger nerf to core support Pango though? I think it's a bigger nerf
more?
To support.
Well, yeah, support. I mean, if you're core, you can be able to get farm eventually. To but you might have to yeah. change your build to be able to keep up with the mana cost. But
so with your logic, this is again pushing it more into that direction.
Though, fine, right? I'll concede. Only because I want Pango to be played as core, please.
Yes,
please.
What else do we have? Shadow Demon got nerfed a bit. 2 seconds longer cooldown on disruption, and Shadow Poison costs 45 mana on all levels instead of 35 plus 5 per level. Actually, pretty big nerfs on SD as well. And finally, Sven, of course, gets nerfed. Probably not enough, honestly. Plus 0.1 second base attack time. Stormhammer damage decreased on level 1, 2, and 3 by a little bit. And God Strength lasts 5 seconds less. I still think this hero is S tier. And I think Clanks is still up there as well, but I'm not sure. But Sven still seems incredible.
Do you think Venge is... I wouldn't put him at S tier, but is he close? Like before this patch? Because they didn't really nerf her that hard. With
Venge,
the Ag Scepter.
Venge was very good with Ags.
She got just some minus move speed, which I didn't even realize Ags gave you. I don't know why that's even a thing.
Yeah, you got plus 25% move speed when you die. Now yeah. it's plus 12. Now the illusion has a health bar, which is honestly really weird that it doesn't didn't beforehand, right?
Yeah.
And her Agi gain got reduced by 0.4. So it is nerfs, but I still think the Ags Venge is still very, very good.
Yeah. Last thing I want to mention, just because it's a meme at this point, Shadow Fiend Shard, the one where you, I think you consume a Necromastery charge and your next hit is a crit. Now is 1.9x crit instead of 1.7.
It's trash.
Like what? I don't get it. Why is this a shard?
It's really not.
All right. Last thing, Sindarin. What type of a crit would need to be had for this to be good? It's at 190% right now. If it was 300, would it be good enough?
Yeah. Then it would be broken.
Okay.
Probably.
So at what point is it balanced and good enough to buy?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's increase it by 10% every patch until we get there.
All right, sounds good.
I don't know. The thing I will always hold this up against is you could buy Crystallis, right? Because, yeah, you get the guaranteed crit, but you need damage items for this crit to be valuable. When you buy Crystallis, you get a crit chance, but you also get the base damage, right? You get no base damage here. You actually pay damage.
Plus, Shadow Fiend doesn't mind buying a Silver Edge, right? And you get a guaranteed crit from that, too. So.
Right. So, yeah. I think, technically, this shard can be good super late game if you have a build where you... I believe if you crit on this and Daedalus, I don't know how it works. I think the strongest crit goes in effect.
Yeah.
Or maybe Necromastery takes priority, even, which would be bad, because the Daedalus crit is better.
Yeah.
It's just weird, man.
All right.
Just weird.
Next thing on the list is... I was actually going to skip a topic by accident. So... 2021 ticket sales for the international. Just going to read this quick post. At long last, the top Dota teams in the world will gather this October to wage the 10th battle to claim the Age of the Champions. We had hoped to release ticket information by now, but the Delta variant has been an added challenge as we work to navigate hosting a live event as safely as possible. With circumstances constantly changing, we want to be careful to make a well-informed and safe decision regarding ticket sales closer to the event. We understand this makes planning difficult for fans hoping to travel to Romania. We will continue to evaluate the situation and announce ticket information as soon as we are able. Are you surprised? Do you expect this to mean no crowd at TI? Or I mean, I think we both agree that it's good that they're playing this safe. Obviously, if they're not sure, they're not sure. Obviously, don't force shit. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
You need to remember something that's really... important about TI is there are players coming in from loads of different countries, and the COVID situation can be very different there, right? Like we talked about 2 weeks ago in a very sad news of one of our episodes, we lost Dino, right? One of the Philippine commentators. The Philippine players coming in might not be fully vaccinated. They might not have had access to it. They might not have had time, whatever it is. I don't know this for a fact. But I would be surprised if every single player attending TI is fully vaccinated. I don't think that's the case. I hope it is, but obviously, depending on where you live, complications can arise. Maybe they get offered a way of getting vaccinated if they go to boot camp in Romania, for example. Perhaps there's availability there. But anyway, whether or not the players are vaccinated and it is safe, there's still, you know, the general population in Romania, the area, people, again, traveling to the event from other countries. It just complicates things. And I think them playing it safe is totally understandable. And in many ways, this is what people wanted last year, right?
They would have probably accepted
that TI10 would have been 2010 with no audience because of COVID, but still had TI.
Right.
It's what they did for the League World Championship, for example.
I don't know what's required to get into the country, if anything, and maybe Europe has some, I don't know. But it depends on what Valve wants to do in terms of like how closed off they want to be. Like, if there's going to be a crowd, then I would actually be surprised if every player is not forced to be vaccinated. To me, it wouldn't make sense if there's a crowd for some player to not be vaccinated.
Yeah.
But if you don't want
I don't know for sure.
Nobody knows for sure.
I could imagine it would be a possibility that at least some players would not be vaccinated. Not necessarily by choice, just by, you know, limitations.
Right. I think considering the stakes and how big this tournament is and how many eyes are going to be on it, if somebody gets COVID or something like that, it's going to be huge news, right? So if they're not going to require vaccinations, then they have to like basically bubble the hotel and players literally cannot leave at any point unless it's to a shuttle to whatever the arena is, right? So it's just easier to require vaccinations. Yep.
But yeah, you asked me what I think is going to happen. This post was from 13 days ago. We didn't go over this news because we had the Purge episode last time.
True.
There's been no news since. So this makes me think that, okay, how far are we from TI now? 2.5 weeks from the start? 3 weeks? Yeah. That is extremely short notice for ticket sales. So I think at this point, we're probably inching in on no audience at all, would be my guess.
Agreed.
I hope for an audience. It makes things cooler and more fun, but we need the audience under the right conditions. And if the conditions are bad, then it's better to not have it. So so people don't have to worry all the time. So yeah.
Yep. Agreed.
It's a sad, sad consequence, but it's the right move. And I think it's very clear based on the wording that Valve are really considering like the value of the audience versus the risk. Which is interesting, again, because when we think back on 2010, the audience was super integral to TI, and that's why TI got canceled. I think it was a part of it, at least, was that Valve probably wanted there to be an audience on top of, you know, COVID just being newer and scary. But as seeing as other esports could host their world championships in person with players bubbling and flying in, Valve would have definitely been able to as well. But I think they really rated the, like, the spectacle of having a huge audience, they rated it really high, and now they've just had to settle, right? They can't delay it another year, so now it's just okay, you know, we got to go for it. And it is what it is.
I mean, if there's no audience, there's no audience. Obviously, everybody would prefer there to be, but there's only so much they can do. All right, next thing on the list, Dota Pit. Did you watch any of this? Because I people hate it when we say this, but would you rather us not go over it?
We don't watch every game, guys. We don't.
I didn't watch any Dota Pit. I'm sorry. But we can talk about the winners.
I watched a bit of the finals.
Okay, tell me about it.
Yeah, so this tournament had some of the big guns from the ESL tournament. Obviously, we had Tundra winning that one, like we talked about in a previous episode. We had Tundra, Spirit, LGD, T1, Fnatic, SG, Undying, and Thunder Predator. So once again, similar to the last tournament, Thunder Predator not looking hot, and therefore not looking hot going into TI. They finished dead last, together with Team Undying. However, arguably Team Undying's draw was worse because they faced LGD first, and then they dropped down to face Spirit.
Yeah,
and LGD won the tournament, and Spirit got second. So you know, it's just unlucky, really, for Undying. And they got 2-1 in both series. Keep in mind, they didn't get rolled.
No, they're. I'm not worried about them.
If anything, they're looking kind of good from that. Yeah, relative to the tournament.
I think they're a pretty good team. For sure. Yeah.
Then Fnatic and SG Esports take 5th, 6th. And top 4, T1, Tundra, Spirit, and LGD. And I think the big positive surprise there for many people was that Spirit got to the finals. They 2-0'd Tundra after Tundra got 2-0'd by LGD. So they clearly just got rolled that day. But Spirit 2-0'd Fnatic and T1 back to back, and then Tundra, 3-2-0s in a row before they met LGD in the finals, and they were too big of a boss and won 3-1. So LGD still, take the tournament.
Yeah, they're still playing with Zhao 8 as well.
They still have Zhao 8, yeah. He played really well in the finals, though. He actually won his lane against Toronto Tokyo, of the games.
Like it's a big story. won his lane for once.
So the thing about it, though, the reason we're joking about this a little bit is that the previous tournament when Xiao had played mid at ESL, in a lot of the games, the majority, he would lose his lane to formidable mid laners because he's not really a mid laner, at least not currently. Obviously being primarily a coach, but he's still exceptionally skilled at the game. But I think he's just warmed up now. Like he's played so much mid recently now that he's actually starting to get a lot better at the laning. And that is a skill that takes a bit of time to warm up to. So that was definitely a change from the last tournament to this one, is that his laning was just better.
God, what if he comes back and plays next season?
He could.
This guy is an absolute legend.
He's like 10K MMR in China. He's really fucking good. He's like a world elite player. It's just, he will look a bit worse on mid. Again, it's a very mechanical lane that has really specific things that you have to just train, you know, and have it in your fingers. But he could, I personally think Xiao 8 could come back and play basically any role.
I think I talked about this on the podcast briefly, but it just reminds me of this time where we, I don't know if we were technically in talks, but I think it was through Misery, when Misery was on DC, where they wanted to bring Zhao 8 out to America because apparently Zhao 8 wanted to play in America
and learn
a little bit of English. And I was like, that sounds fucking hype. Bring him. Give him whatever he wants. Absolutely. But it just never materialized. But yeah, that guy is super legit.
He wanted to go to America. He really wanted to play, but he didn't want to play for you. So
yeah, he saw my picture on Twitter and Twitter's banned in China.
Chinese
teams
that thought TI1 was a scam and didn't go. This can't be a real team.
He saw the intro video to DC. Is like what this guy's too
this
narcissistic.
This is not a real org. I don't believe it.
But yeah, I'm excited for Team Spirit going to TI. They get second place here, like you said, and we cast a lot of them at the Animajor, and they impressed. They were a little bit shaky in a couple of the past tournaments, but they overall looked way better than we thought originally.
Very improved.
So, yeah. All right. Next thing on the list is related to LGD. Nothing to Say and Ollie have obtained the necessary travel approvals for the trip to TI10. So there's a lot of questions whether... Nothing to Say would get his visa. I believe he's from Malaysia, right? And it's just really difficult. Or is it Singapore? I actually forget.
I think Malaysia.
Apparently really difficult to get visas, and it went over the time limit. Like, a lot of people were thinking that Zhao 8 might actually have to play, which would be, you know, obviously that would be an interesting storyline for sure, but LGD have looked like the strongest, or one of the strongest, at the very least, teams in the world with Nothing to Say. So, good to see them at full strength. Now, the question is, Sindarin, they've played a lot with Zhao 8 lately. Yeah. Do you think that this will hurt their chemistry? Or do you think they'll just pick up where they left off?
I think they'll pick up where they left off. And I think they have enough time, right? Because this news about him flying in... when was he flying? There was a picture from the airport. Was that from today or yesterday?
I think he got there. There's another post recently.
He already arrived, yeah. So they have 2.5 weeks to prepare. It's enough. It's definitely enough. They're going to be good.
I wonder, I wish we could get this information of what teams that each team is like scrimming the most. Because there's always like, everybody wants to play each other a little bit, everybody, right? But there's always like one scrim partner that you're, and a lot of times you want to play somebody that, like if you're a big team like LGD, you do not want to play another big boy. You want to couple up with somebody that maybe not the weakest, but you know, in the, maybe they get like 8th, 9th at TI range. That's what you want. I just find that so interesting how that works.
You
want to
train against a team that's strong enough that it will show weakness and strength in your strategies, but that are still not your number one competition necessarily.
Right, which is hilarious.
So that you don't show them your hand.
Because a lot of times it ends up those teams are in the finals, right?
Yeah.
You end up boosting that team to another level, which... why do I keep...
Or they boost you, right?
It was EG versus... what is the team that EG played? The stupid name they had. C-Deck, yeah. God, what a terrible fucking name. And then, of course,
Chinese Dota
Wings,
Elite
DC as well. We boosted Wings. Yeah. You're welcome. Okay. We shit on them. They rage quit scrims against us. And then they won TI. That's how they do it. Okay. Next, and oh, we got the SAP segment ready to go. So as you guys may or may not know, we are partnered with SAP, who are an enterprise software company that's bringing their expertise via analytics in esports. Me and Sindarin ask each other some questions. Our scores are 0 apiece, even though you broke me mentally last right week.
We give each other multiple choice with 4 options, and we've got 0 right.
Yeah, that's and then we'll great. Go over the community question. But first, I have a question for you, Sindarin.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm going to get a point today.
Do you think it's Ags or Shard related?
Yeah, I mean, 50-50. Do I get half a point for guessing which one
of the two?
No, half
points. Okay. Absolutely not.
It's Shard related.
It is. Shard in the current patch has never been bought in a pro game? And pro game doesn't just mean tier one. It's a bunch of, you know, there's a range, but still pro game.
There's
games.
Literally only one.
No, based on what I saw, there's many.
Oh, what wasn't your question? Which one hasn't been bought?
Yeah.
But you said there's many.
No, okay. Of the following choices, which one has...
Okay.
I think when I checked it, there was like 5 or 6 that have never been bought, but only one of the 4 choices will be 0.
Got it. Okay.
Is it A, Warlock? Is it B, Omni Knight? Is it C, Dazzle? Or is it D, Pugna?
Oh, I think it's Omni Knight. That one's garbage.
So Omni Knights is the, what does the new one do? Like lowers base or damage or some shit, right? This is based on this patch. So 7.
You're saying in pro games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Omni Knight.
All right. Omni Knight, out of those 4, is the most picked shard.
What? Why would anyone buy that shit? It's so bad.
Omni Knight, again, keep in mind, this is purchased shards, not picked up from Roche. So Omni Knight, 5 times bought it out of 228 games. I don't know. But
why
5.
Would you buy that shit?
5 out of 228. That's a very bad ratio. Okay.
I mean, yeah, but it's better than the other ones. Okay, my second guess would be Pugna.
Okay, Pugna is 1 out of 17 games. Dazzle is 1 out of 4, and the one that shocked me and the correct answer is Warlock. 0 out of 5. There's been 5 games played on 7.30 with Warlock.
Oh, it was only for this patch.
Yes.
Okay, because I know Warlock used to buy this. I was sure Warlock has bought it. But even in this patch, I'm still surprised Omni has bought it. So
okay.
I can't. No. I don't know what the fuck that is. Okay.
All right, so wrong again. Let's go. Let's go,
are
baby.
Are we sure SAP's tool is working? There's no way Omni and I bought this.
5 out of 228. No way, that's the worst ratio by so far. They might have just mistakenly misclicked it. You know, they're just in the shop. You can't sell it back when it's in your inventory. So
I guess so. Maybe it's when you're winning. You're like, oh, I'll buy the shard. I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
Okay. I have a different kind of question for you today, Shannon. How many people in the top 5 of official matches played, so just total games that are logged by the tool, have a nickname starting with F? In the top 5, how many of those players have a nickname that starts with F? Is it 2, 3, 4, or 5?
What kind of fucking garbage question is this? This is horrible. I give you a legit question.
This is a legit question.
All right, repeat it.
Out of the people in the top 5 most played matches that are logged by this SAP tool, how many of those people have a nickname that starts with F?
2, 3, 4, 5?
Yeah.
That starts with F?
Yes.
I feel like this is a trick question because I want to say 5. I'm going to say 5. Fuck you.
That is incorrect.
God, I hate you so much.
Now, okay, try to name some of them. If you said 5, you must be able to think of some of the ones you think are in the top 5 then.
FNG.
Yep.
Ferrari.
Nope. Dude, he hasn't played for like 4 years.
I'm just naming the first people I can think of that start with an F. Faith Beyond.
Also not.
Go ahead, tell me, Sindarin.
There are 4. So you were close. You could have picked 2, which would have been further away. In order, FNG, most games, FY, number 2, Fly, number 3, No Tail, number 4, and Fata is number 5. So it's 4 out of 5.
Great.
Have a nickname that
I'm glad that you use this very powerful tool to come up with the absolute worst question I have ever heard. Thank you so much.
I saw one comment in chat when I came up with this, and it was all caps, and it said legit question. So I feel...
Give me a break.
I feel... I thought it was a great question.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much. All right, let's go on to the community question.
Depending, if you think he's called Fautail, you might have been right, actually.
Yeah, Fautail would have made it 5 out of 5. All right, community question. Question from Josef. We have, is Windranger really as bad as Slack says in prog play? So we actually looked that up, and these are stats since 7.07, okay? Windranger actually has the 12th worst win rate with 46.56%, which would have been 11th if
bad.
Dawnbreaker wasn't added into the game because she's dead last, which I guess shouldn't be surprising since it's such a small sample size. So yes, Slax apparently has a point. Windranger sucks ass since 7.07. So if you guys want us to give you a shout out like we just did, then be sure to leave your comments on the YouTube video as to what stat you may or may not want to see. Make sure to include the hashtag SAP Esports, and obviously click on the link in the description, which helps us quite a bit. So thank you very much.
Chang, okay. We've still got 0 correct answers after 3 weeks.
It's going to be like one of those things where we get far enough, it's going to become impressive that we want to get it wrong almost, right? So we have to trick each other to get it right.
Like the card game Hearts.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Next thing is OCA announces titles for Hangzhou Asian Games Esports Competition, and Dota is on it, Sindarin. Yep. What are your thoughts on this?
Wait, what are the 8 games? So there's 8 events and games. Arena of Valor, Dota 2, Dream 3 Kingdoms 2, EA Sports FIFA branded soccer games. What? Okay. Hearthstone, League of Legends, PUBG Mobile, Asian Games version, and mm-hmm. Street Fighter V. Oh, Street Fighter V. That sounds cool. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to see what their what the regulations are. Right?
Oh,
is
yeah.
it any team can participate? What's the prize? Because representation of the game is always going to be good, right? It's great that we have
right. So sorry, I should have said the OCA stands for the Olympic Council of Asia. So
right.
part of the when is the next Olympics? Where is it actually? Do you know? Off the top of your chat?
Don't know.
Lifeline chat. Where's the next Olympics gonna be? Oh, it's Paris apparently. Oh, okay.
When is it gonna be? Paris.
Oh, so this is part of the China winter, is that right? Why would they okay, anyway. So apparently this is a big deal.
It's good Dota's there. It's cool. Very curious to see what teams play and what the... Because the reason I say regulations is that depending on the events, sometimes it's only... There's like nationality restrictions where you have to have 3, 4, or 5 people from the same country or whatever. Whenever there's regulations like those in place, it really stifles the competition because there's so many world-class teams that can't compete because they have 5 different nationalities, like secret. It's a great example.
Yeah.
So usually in the past when we've had these like World Cup tournaments, a lot of the times the top teams will be like the Philippines, where TNC could just bring their whole team, or some sort of strong Danish stack or whatever, Danish team, tier 2 teams that go and perform because all of the elite isn't there because they can't. So curious about that.
Yeah.
How it's going to go down like that.
And that segues into the next topic, which we talked, when was it, about China adding potential, more than potential, but regulations to video games for minors, where I think they could only play video games for 3 hours during the week, I want to say off the top of my head, during the term, which is like the school thing, right? So more has been added on this. Chinese authorities have banned all new video games from being released indefinitely as the government attempts to tackle what it calls gaming addiction in the under 18. So I'm going to read a couple of quotes, Cinder, and then we'll get thoughts okay. here. So first one, this is all from the same article. Chinese authorities have ordered gaming giants to end their focus on profits and cut content perceived to be breeding effeminacy as Beijing tries to direct youth culture, gender ideals, and the reach of big tech. In recent days, regulators have ordered broadcasters to resist abnormal aesthetics such as sissy men, calling for more masculine representations in programming. Late Wednesday, the official Xinhua, I don't know how to say that, news agency reported the latest edicts against gaming. Obscene and violent content and those breeding unhealthy tendencies such as money worship and effeminacy should be removed. The target is driven by perception among sections of society that effeminate men are physically weak and emotionally fragile, aka feminine men cannot defend the nation. Song added that the heterosexuality is seen as the only gender norm, leading to anxiety over more ambiguous representations of sexuality and identity. And then following it up with, so all that stuff we'll talk about. And then apparently this is something that's already been done, which blows my fucking mind. Tencent, which is like the biggest gaming company probably in the world, I want to say, they bought like every company. They apparently, they're being forced to do this by Chinese government, I assume. They rolled out a facial recognition midnight patrol function back in July to root out children masquerading as adults to get around the curfew that was instituted. What the fuck is... This is like some North Korea shit right here. My goodness.
This is bordering on Black Mirror. Honestly,
legit. That is true. Actually,
Black Mirror, kind of. Yeah, this is pretty fucked up.
I don't even know what to say. It's fucked up.
The first three quotes are fucked up enough, right? But this is just this takes the cake, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if we should be if these statements should be competing with each other. They're all trash. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say on that.
There's nothing to say. I just wanted to. I mean, it's news, so anything that's. Even related to video games, that's big enough. I wanted to mention, and I literally have no words. I can't imagine what it's like. But I wonder.
Okay, actually, I will say one thing.
Okay.
There's one thing in all of this that I think is pretty good. But it's a stretch, okay? But it says Chinese authorities have ordered gaming giants to end their focus on profits. Where, depending on how you look at that, that could be trying to encourage or, depending on what they want to do, make legislation that prevents companies from doing insane amounts of like microtransaction profits or like exploiting customers, basically, right? Which is always going to be a gray area. Like how many, at the end of the day, you're the customer. You can just choose not to buy the shit. But if your favorite games are kind of shoving microtransactions down your throat and almost forcing you to buy this stuff to continue playing the game, or being competitive in it and enjoying it to the full extent, then that is something I could agree with. I think microtransactions have become way too big in gaming, and I like the old model of you buy a game and you have it, and there's a lot of like cool stuff in it. And then we have other models like Dota, right? Where you have everything and all the stuff you buy is purely cosmetic. I'm totally on board with that model too, where you have plenty of games at this point that have both pay-to-play and then on top, you need to also do this or that to enjoy the game at its fullest. And I think the first company that really got away with this shit is Blizzard with the original World of Warcraft subscription, right? Where you paid for the game, and then you paid a monthly subscription. And then on top of that, they also added an in-game store with microtransactions.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I draw the line. Like, I feel like, okay, you know, we can have a monthly sub if there's a service fee. And there's some sort of things being done, right? With like game masters that run the game and your continuing development. But like also putting in microtransactions, just like, you know, it's like,
no, I agree. It's interesting to look at the other perspective because you're right. Microtransactions when it's kids under 18, I think is something that should definitely be looked at.
It's pretty predatory.
But
I can see a positive in regulating that. But the rest of the stuff is just fucking stupid.
Yeah. Having said that, this goes to an extreme, just feels like an understatement. And aside from like the aspect, which, you know, we don't really need to talk about much, but it's going to stunt the growth of esports players for sure, for generations potentially, depending on how long this goes. But like, if this is something for the foreseeable future, then China's not going to have many up and coming talent in a lot of games. And then on top of that, how does this, not just that aspect, but everything else in terms of the business side of things, how does that affect world esports? Because China is a huge player. Tencent, I think their stocks were down like 10% just out of the announcement alone, among other companies. So this has a huge effect. Yeah. And I think on one side of things, I think this may help people not in like companies outside of China, like the customers outside of China, because companies will be less reliant on China as a result. Yep.
That's true.
So maybe there's a silver lining, but yeah, obviously beyond fucked up. So that's all there is to
it. I mean, it would be an interesting thing if that ends up, is what ends up happening is that China has legislation and the only companies it hurts are their own and everyone else thrives and their population just stops playing games or plays way less, right?
Yeah.
Because what I think is interesting about this is that part of where they're coming from is not that stupid, right? Like, gaming to an extent might be reaching a point that is, depending on the person, depending on the age group, might be too addictive. But I don't think it's the government's responsibility to solve this problem. I think it's awareness and it's about the family and making finding a healthy medium, right? Like, at the end of the day, if your kids get way too addicted to gaming, then you didn't handle it in the family the right way, right? With like either restrictions or with at least talking about and getting at some sort of a shared understanding of like how much do you spend in time with the computer, how do you play, what games do you play, also makes a really big difference. Like, some games are just way more addictive than others. My parents let me play Diablo when I was 6, which I still can't fucking believe, because they've always been very protective about me in general. But
they
for
done
some
fucked
reason,
up there.
I got to play Diablo when I was 6 years old. And man, if it didn't ruin me, I'm
look
a total fucked up person because I got to play Diablo. I mean, that's a great example of how, you know, even... But it is also just highly individual, right? Like,
yeah.
A bit of it is also down to quote unquote luck. Like, what kind of person are you? Some people get sucked in. Some people react very different to games than others do. And that's, again, why I think legislation like this doesn't really make sense. It's about knowing your children, knowing your family, and handling things. Like,
I mean, I think on a government level, I'm personally fine with restrictions on, like, business models that are predatory. Like, I think having some restrictions is probably fine, but
yes,
there's a threshold of where it becomes too much.
You can make it so that the games are inherently less addictive or less predatory, but at the end of the day, it's still the people's own choice and own decisions that is going to guide what level it reaches in your life, right? I think so. Like, I don't think treating video games as heroin is the way to go. Like, I feel like it's not... obviously, China's not letting you do heroin 3 hours a week, right? But you get the idea. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
That'd be pretty interesting legislation, though.
What would?
If you're under 18, you get to do heroin 3 hours a week.
Oh, heroin. I was wondering. Okay, yeah. I thought you misspoke. No. Yeah, that would be interesting. Okay, let's finish this up with the last topic of the day before we get to the our mailbag question. The Matrix Resurrections has a new trailer out. I believe, off the top of my head, it comes out on Christmas. I love The Matrix, the original, number one. One of my favorite movies of all time. Probably top three for me of all time. The second and third were fucking garbage that make me angry every time I think about them. Will 4 be any different? So some things that are going against it, Sindarin. Morpheus is not in the fucking movie. How is that possible? How the fuck? He wasn't even contacted. How is that? I'm sure it has, like, there's some, like, inside story where he did something messed up, but at the end of the day, you need Morpheus, man. He has to be in the movie. Period.
That's pretty weird.
So this is going to be, maybe this is going to be, a little bit of a spoiler. It's been a long time since I've watched it. If you haven't seen number three, tune out now. It's been like 20 years, though. Am I wrong? Because people are saying this, and I saw this as well, that Morpheus died in a video game and that they're just taking over that. I don't buy that bullshit. That is complete bullshit. It's definitely like some personal issue between him and like the director or something. Didn't Neo die in the third movie? Am I stupid? Didn't he fucking sacrifice himself and die? Chat? But he's in the movie, so Morpheus can be in this movie too. Another thing that bothers me about the trailer, because I'm nitpicking now, why, I love Keanu Reeves, why does he have the same hairdo as John Wick? I know they're the same person, by the way, don't make that joke. why don't they change his hairdo? Like, when I see that hairdo on him, I think John Wick, not Neo. Come on, man. Basic fucking shit. Morpheus should be in the movie. What is this garbage? Of course I'm going to see it on Christmas, and I'm going to be very disappointed. But I'm going to see it anyway. God help us, Sindarin. God help us all. Are you excited for it?
I agree with everything you said. I watched the first Matrix only, and I watched it... When did it come out?
What? What do you mean? You need to see the other two to appreciate number one the most because of how bad it is or how good it is compared to
that. I probably watched it that year or the year after. So I probably watched it when I was like 10 or 11. I barely remember anything. I think we watched it at my cousin's, actually. That's what I remember. I remember it being good, I think.
What the fuck? Who are... What? What? You've seen The Matrix once? You don't even remember it? What it? Oh my!
I love talking.
I'm gonna maul so hard. I've seen Matrix 1 like 15 times. Holy shit balls, man! In Bruges, I wasn't surprised you didn't see it. And knowing how terrible a person you are, you didn't see it for 2 years. Me begging. The Matrix, which is iconic. It's not like, especially for gamers.
It was good. It was good.
You don't even remember anything.
I think it was good.
Oh my god. All right, we're going to get a lot of rage comments, I think.
No, there're going to be a lot of people that are like, "Yeah, I also watched The Matrix when I was 12 and never watched it since. It was a good movie, I don't watch movies twice."
Okay.
That's what they're all going to say. I think we're going to have like literally hundreds of comments on the video saying, "I watched The Matrix when I was 12 and I haven't watched it since." Just wait and see. Minority here.
So let's have a little thought experiment here, okay? In the comments of YouTube, if you're still watching somehow, post a comment or just find a comment at this point that says that you have watched. What's the best way to do this? It's a binary system here. You have to upvote the one that says either you agree with Sindarin, you've only seen The Matrix once and you barely remember it, or you've seen it a bunch of times and it's a very important movie to watch for gamers. Okay, whatever the fuck you guys want to do, just
or
upvote.
Gamers, man, now you're really fucking upvote to the audience, right?
Upvote the one that you feel is appropriate.
Gamers unite behind The Matrix. Okay?
I feel like Sindarin is beyond fucked up in this one. All right, that's weird. That's weird. They've seen it once. That's really weird.
Okay, let me ask you this: do you think the majority of people that watch movies have watched The Matrix more than once?
Yes, I actually think that.
The majority of people that have watched movies have watched The Matrix more than once.
In the world?
People that watch movies, like, not necessarily religiously, but just, you know, watch movies.
Well, if you're including all the plebs, no. Let's take this. Take all the gamers. Take all the gamers.
Gamers.
I would actually say a majority of gamers have seen The Matrix more than once. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong.
All right.
The majority of gamers are 12 and play Fortnite, and they don't know this.
Seen The Matrix more than once? That's the question. All right. You upvote the comment that says, yes, Sindarin's an idiot. I've seen The Matrix many times. Or I agree with Sindarin. Suns fan is an idiot. I've seen The Matrix once or zero times. I'll give you the zero. I will give you zero on this one as well. Okay. Okay. All right. I know that you don't watch shit, but that's shocking. Actually shocking.
Why is that shocking to you? I don't understand.
It's like saying you've never seen... Wait, how many times have you seen Lord of the Rings?
In its entirety?
Yes.
Once.
Holy shit! Let's do Patreon mailbag before I rage horribly. It's the best trilogy of all time. Have you seen it once?
It's really fucking good. It's some of my favorite movies. I've watched them once. I think I've watched all of them one time in the cinema, and then I've watched decent portions of all three of them on separate occasions at friends' places while we've been doing other stuff or whatever. But I don't think I've watched all three of them in full duration more than one time.
Okay, let's move on to the Patreon mailbag. I can't talk about
this. Okay, you know what, Sharon?
Makes me too angry.
I think we may have talked about this before. 150 episodes. Wait, we've done 120. 100 episodes ago. Some people don't rewatch movies as much as others. You love rewatching shit that you like.
Yeah.
I agree. Don't really rewatch movies in general. Watch movies in general. That probably makes it easier to not rewatch as well. But
yes.
There are, okay, so let me give you a great example. I go to the movie, I love a movie that I see in the cinema, I don't go and watch it again. You go to the movies, you see a movie you love, you go and watch it again in the same run in the cinema. You go and watch it twice within a month, right?
No.
Yes, you do.
Theater.
Yes, you've done that.
I've never...
You've done that.
No. Seen the
Okay, then you watch it at home a second time.
Yeah, of course, at home.
Right.
Many times.
Within the next month.
Yes. I think
I've never done that. I have literally never done that with any movie. Watched it twice within a month. Never. Not even twice within a year, I think.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
That's incredible. That is, like, I understand that I am maybe not everybody's like me where they'll watch like stuff that they really like a ton of times. I think a lot of people are like that. I don't know if it's the majority or not. Even for people that watch one movie once, right? The Matrix and Lord of the Rings are, for gamers, again, are movies you watch multiple times. It just is. That's just how it is. That's how I feel.
I'll watch The Matrix again for episode 200.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit anymore. All right, let's finish off with a Patreon mailbag question from Joey Pitch Black. I'm so sad there's no In Bruges question for mailbag questions. Can I ask a question? If the answer is yes, that was my question, so please don't answer with yes. Thank you. For real now, if you had the opportunity to go back in time to any point in your life, what would you say to yourself if you could tell them one thing? I actually have an answer for this now. I would go back 20 minutes and not ask about Matrix.
Fuck. I would go back 10 minutes and not tell you.
Oh, you made me laugh so hard I snorted. All right. Oh, that's a good answer. Fuck. God, I hate you so much.
God. Oh my God, that's good.
All right. I think that's good
enough. That's actually a great answer. I'm fine with that. I can live with that.
You're the worst. You're the worst. All right. Thanks for watching We Say Things, episode 120.
Oh, it's not my planned answer for this question, but it's really fucking good. So,
Have a good night, everybody. Until next week, Suns fan and Cinder and signing out. God be with you if you haven't seen The Matrix more than once. Jesus.
We say things that don't mean anything. Oh, but thanks for listening.